Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here for another week of Turning Towards Life. Lizzie, it's our 434th week. It's a lovely number that is the same both ways round, which I find very satisfying. And it's very lovely to be with you and very exciting to be in this conversation. And I want to say welcome to all of you who are with us, as always. People finding their way to us all the time. And I want to say to all of you who are with us, thank you. It's really something to have this conversation be in the midst of widening and widening circles. We know lots of you talk to one another about the conversations. You share it with people you love, and that's how this spreads. There's a group of people who listen and then talk with one another in China. How extraordinary. It's very joyful to be doing this. And it's probably before we dive into this very wonderful source that you brought us, Lizzie. I'll just say it's the 3rd of February today, 2026, or at the beginning of 2026. In March, we are beginning the second season of our Turning Towards Life live offering, where you get to come and be with us and other people once a month, every month for 6 months, and do what we are doing here with others. It's magic. We're just coming to the end of our first season. The doors open again for the second season for the beginning of March. And you can find out about it at turningtowards.life, our website, where you can also sign up to get emails from us every week with the source and the recording. You can also support us there. Lots of people support us. They buy us a cup of coffee, metaphorically, and that helps keep this project going, which is lovely. Thank you for all of you who do that. Or you could just go to the website and contact us and say hello. We're always really happy to be in conversation with people. And the only other thing to say is we're also very excited because we are heading towards the start of the Third Space professional coaching course, which you and I spoke about last week, Lizzie, episode 433. And there's now a page on the Turning Towards Life website which has all of the conversations about coaching and the way we teach coaching all gathered together. And we will post the link to that in the show notes. Quite exciting because we've talked about it a few times. So if any of you are interested in that, talk to us. It's a wonder. We're about halfway through the current one and it's such a joy to do. And all of that, Lizzie, it feels to me it's worth saying, partly so everybody knows about it, but partly it's the context for this conversation, this you and I talking isn't just you and I talking. It's also an expression of a much bigger endeavor and commitment called Third Space that we are deeply immersed in and which many, many other people come into contact with over the years. So it's nice to kind of connect all of that up before we even begin to speak. And hello.
Thank you, Justin. Feels very lovely to feel your summary of everything that's happening. And this is such a breath of loveliness to be together and to wander into the luxury experience of sharing the source together and seeing where it takes us. This week we have a source by our wonderful friend Rosemary Wotola Troma. Rosemary, if you're ever listening to this, thank you for this glorious blooming flower of a poem that you've brought to the world. We're going to read it to one another, Justin, and as always see where the I don't know what it is, the spirit of this work, of Rosemary's work, takes us and who we are in it together. And obviously Rosemary is here too with us, as are all of the wonderful ones listening to us. And I know, Justin, we've had a bit of a spike in listeners recently, so I want to just say hello to anyone who's new and dipping their toe into the Turning Towards Lifeness that we are. You're very welcome here. Thank you for coming. And this poem by Rosemary is called, In Case You Don't Know Already. And can each of us listening please see what it is to take a breath and receive this for ourselves as it's read to us? Of course, I'm going to be read this to by you in a minute, Justin, and I'm going to read to you now. But each time we read it, we can receive it, whoever we are, for our actual selves. So in case you don't know already, you are a sun, radiant, fueled by your own core, capable of luminosity so great you blaze through light years of darkness. One day you will know your own power and it will never occur to you not to trust it, not to share it. You will not be able to forget your own magnitude, nor will such glory be a burden. You will simply shine because that is who you are. No need to apologize, no reason to be jealous of any other sun, of any other star. You have always been a sun, even in the darkest days. Then you were also the clouds and the great shadow that made you stop believing in your light. You are what makes the day itself that integral, that crucial, that bright.
Thank you, Lizzie. The version I've got here is very slightly different. I pulled it from Rosemary's website. It's got a couple more words here and there. And it's also the same, in case you don't know already. One day, you will wake and discover that you are a sun, radiant, fueled by your own core, capable of luminosity so great you blaze through light years of darkness. You will know your own power, and it will never occur to you not to trust it, not to share it. You will not be able to forget your own magnitude. Nor will such glory be a burden. You will simply shine because that is who you are. No need to apologize. No reason to be jealous of any other sun, of any other star. On that day, you will see how it is you have always been a sun, even in the darkest days. Then you were also the clouds and the great shadow that made you stop believing in your light. You are, in fact, what makes the day itself. You are that integral, that crucial, that bright.
Thank you, Justin. So the sweet thing is, Justin, you've gone to Rosemary's website and found the poem. I found this poem actually from a series of musical pieces that Rosemary's been making in partnership with other creative ones. And this was the lyrics to one of the songs. And I listened to the song and I chose the lyrics of the song rather than her written word as it originally was. And clearly they've adapted it so that it works with whatever the music was that had been written. Or whatever process they had creatively between them. And I really want to invite everybody to find the way that Rosemary's poetry has been made into music. It's really, really beautiful. And thank you, Rosemary, for doing that and for collaborating in that way, because it's such a wonderful way to receive your work. And so this source, this poem, just kind of leapt out at me as, I think, a North Star or something of remembrance, of knowing this to be true in spite of whatever is happening. It's true of all of us. And, you know, Justin, we've spoken loads about what it is that makes a source for turning towards life, and what doesn't make it in, kind of thing. And there's a kind of universality about our sources that feels like it includes everyone and everything as best it can. And that's part of our choice making. And this source is just that for me. It's a kind of, I don't know, something to have on a poster on the fridge or something, that no matter what the shadow is, the great shadow that's here right now, or the clouds, or the darkness, or the dark days, This is the thing that's beneath it, beyond it, behind it, and is ever present, whatever our experience is. Like this is what it is, no matter what, to be human, is for this to be true. And Rosemary writing it this way and allowing us a chance to receive this, not just as a fact or something, but as a poetic set of threads to be pulled on that feel grounded and straightforward and kind and warm and true of us all, that we could orient to life this way, that we could orient to ourselves this way, and have this be central in our daily orientation or something. You are what makes the day itself. Of course you are. Without you, the day wouldn't be the day that it is. it's that integral, that crucial, and that bright that you're here. That this message could be the one that we hold one another in and ourselves. And having that be central, essential in spite ofness, feels very, what's the word? Like without this, there would be a truth that was majorly missing in the world.
I really felt it in me very strongly, Lizzie, when you drew attention to these lines. You are, in fact, what makes the day itself. I think those are probably, to me, they're the most important lines in the whole poem. They take everything that's been said before and then change it into something even more important to remember. And the first part of it, it seems to me, the way I can't help but read this poem is that it says something about the inherent, unarguable sacredness of being a human and being alive, and the particularity of it. Like if I can remember that I am this, and that you are this, because that's both implied and explicit in the poem, Lizzie, and everybody else is. That's a whole different world to the world that we're normally in. And it starts with here. It starts in here, close with us, because I think when we forget our own sacredness, our own, I think I'm just going to want to use the word sacredness for the moment, and what it is to be alive, when we forget that and we treat ourselves like something diminished or something, there's a sort of whole thread of a kind of cynical way of looking at being alive that is very prevalent in our wider culture that would reduce us to machines or reduce us to consumers or reduce us to, it's incredibly reductionist, and it keeps us very far away from this feeling of the richness, complexity, and depth of being a person that the sun is. It's not just brightness, it's also, I mean, the sun is an extraordinary something. And I think that that sort of cynical shallowness that by which our wider culture would have us relate to ourselves is very, very handy for all kinds of things, but not for any of the things that Rosemary is talking about, which is knowing ourselves, knowing that our presence matters, knowing that we are powerful and can make a contribution. And we can also just delight in just being here, just the delight of being one who can breathe and who can feel and who can sense and who can relate. So it has to start there, and then it has to include other people. The sense that when we realize this about other people, we don't have to be jealous or afraid or compare ourselves, or that our orientation to others becomes different. But then I just want to come back to making the day itself. Because we are the sun and we are also the clouds that cast their shadow. But behind that, this is what I got from what you were saying, that almost like behind that and prior to that, we are the ones who, by being conscious, relational, feeling, loving beings who care about stuff, that things matter to us, we are the ones who make the day by being in the day. And it's almost as if the particular day that gets made in my own experience because I'm here can only get made because I'm here. It would not, this day would not happen in the world if there were not a me here, both to make it an experience. It's quite hard to get language for this because it's sort of behind the ordinary everyday. But if there were no people or no sentient beings on the planet, would there be a day? I'm not sure that there would, in the same way that there is when there are ones to experience it. And then there is a very particular human way of experiencing that it's easy to diminish and to discard, partly because we can be so terrible to one another. We can. So it's easy to be cynical. I understand it. But I don't think it's the truest story. Like Rosemary said, we're the clouds and the shadow. And that can have us stop believing in something that is much more important and much more fundamental. And what I'm feeling as we're talking is that as I remember this, there's a sort of sweet and tender joy. It's both joy in this, and it's also a kind of grief at all the days when I forget this. That's here too. But as I remember it, it seems to me that I can bring myself to the day in a sort of stance of welcome and belonging that's so hard to do when I forget this. And that might be welcome and belonging for really hard things. I'm not, you know, you'll know this, and I think it's clear in all of our conversations, I'm not, don't for a moment want to stand in some kind of simplistic, covering over kind of positivity towards life. This is a kind of contact with our sacredness and our luminosity that can go underneath all the things that happen. In fact, it's required to bring ourselves to all the things that are happening. That's what we need in order to meet the world with all of its pain and all of its difficulties and all of its joys and all of its horrors and all of its suffering and all of its possibilities.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling as you were talking, this kind of faith that feels like a prerequisite to actually having feelings, like really big feelings about things, about people, about life, about the world, all of that. To me, it feels like we have to have this basic sense, understanding, entertain the idea even of our luminosity, our capacity to blaze through light years of darkness, that we have power, that we have magnitude, there's glory, there's shining, there's sun and stars, and that we are that light. It feels like if I didn't have a sense of that, how would I go to those places that feel so awful and not think that that's where it was going to all end, you know, that's everything then. And I think this orientation to myself of having this radiance and blazingness and luminosity and goodness is what enables me to have the feelings that need to be had, that enables me to know that, yes, I'm the cloud and I'm the great shadow. And there's more to me than that. There's something beyond this feeling. I can go through this and know that in the throughness, there's something deeper, the other end of it, which is something like light or joy. And that longed forness in humanness, you know, that a flower will always turn towards the sun if the sun comes out, even if it's really closed and turning the other direction, it will turn itself somehow to the light. And we are of that same lifeness. So the sun is what keeps us alive in all kinds of hundreds of millions of ways. And we turn towards it because we are that. And I feel like if I didn't know, it's reminding me of that film, Justin, The Abyss, where there's all that darkness and all that darkness and they're traveling down in that scary pod thing that's like, it's really small and there's one human in it. And then they lose contact with the radio system and they keep going down and down and down. And then out the bottom of all of that darkness that feels like it's never ending is the luminosity, is the light. But you have to keep the faith and keep the faith and keep the faith. And it comes because it's the basis of everything. And having that on behalf of myself and on behalf of another who at maybe one point is unable to hold on to that faith, but we can kind of tether to each other. You can borrow my faith for a while, Justin, while you're in that pit. I know that we're going to come through this. I know there's something on the other side. For us to tether to one another like that in places where we feel like this is not available. You know, people may be listening going like, what? No, this light is never here with me. This is not how I experience myself. It is a very real and important thing that we are this for one another. And of course, that holding it in ourselves as a possibility, even if we don't believe it fully, but letting that be possible and maybe, hopefully, probably finding evidence for it at some point really, really matters. And of course, we know Rosemary, Justin, and the kind of places that Rosemary has gone to in herself, where she leads the way for us knowing this is true because of her own experience and her own courage and her own strength and serious depth and substance to keep on traveling through places that are deeply uncomfortable and painful for humans to be in. And yet this is the poetry that she writes. So this is what I mean by the tethering too. Like, I can tether to Rosemary. Like, I often think of Rosemary. I often think of her in times of difficulty and darkness and hopelessness. And this is why these gifts are such gifts of these poems, because in those times, they sit next to me. They sit next to me as, okay, there's someone in the world who's written this down and I know her. I know her to be one of those ones of substance. And I can rely on this and I can tether to her. And I want, Rosemary, if you're listening, for you to know that that is such a big experience to have you there and for us to be able to tether to you when it feels like we are only the clouds, or we're only the shadow, or I am only the clouds, or I am only the shadow. And to have the your use of language as well is extraordinary. So I'm feeling very grateful for the, I think this, it's within all of our gift to be this for one another, that we don't always have to be strong enough to feel like we can handle it all and that it's all okay and we've just got to be on our own. We can borrow from one another. We're made for lending and borrowing and being with one another in this way that paints the beyond, so that we can see something other than what's happening, so that we can be fully in what's happening and fully process what's happening, knowing that there is more. There's something bigger than the darkness that might find us and the pain that might find us.
Yes, these words are, there's so many ways of reading these words, and they're different, knowing Rosemary as a person of such substance. And for all of you who are with us, for all of us, I really want to make a recommendation, not only to find the music, but check out Rosemary's entire body of work, I think most of which is available online. There's so much to soak in. I was thinking whilst you were talking, Lizzie, that you and I have been in a conversation in a different context. We last weekend, we were with our students on the professional coaching course, and we were talking about how someone who's a coach might orient towards the person that they're coaching. And we had a conversation, we've used various language like appreciation, and sometimes we've talked about love, and they are tricky words. You know, they're sort of affronting words. And I think that there's a sort of shallow way of taking them, which is, if I'm working in support of you, I'll just keep telling you how lovely you are, Lizzie. I think that's the shallow way of understanding it. And I think faithfulness is better language, actually. I think if I'm a person, a friend, a partner, a parent, a coach, managing someone, you know, all those places in life where we talk to another person about them, we there's a conversation to be had from me to you about you, Lizzie, in support of you. What really matters is a certain kind of faithfulness, and that the faithfulness that knowing that you are this, knowing that whatever is happening in your life, however hard it is, however painful, and also whatever mistakes you've made, whatever ways that you are defending yourself against something or not seeing something that would really help to see, it's my trusting that you are this that allows me simultaneously to do two things. So one is to name and recognize your own particular kind of luminosity in the world. And the second thing is to talk to you about hard things. And if I want to talk to you about hard things, and I'm coming at it from a, I'm too tiny to do this, or I'm much bigger than you and you are too tiny.
Yeah.
Or I'm cynical about being a person, or I'm cynical about you. All of those ways are going to make it incredibly important. Either I won't talk to you about what really matters, or I'll talk to you in a way that's harsh and unkind and corrective, yeah, and everything. Because I think, and it's you talking about Rosemary that has really opened this in me. But it's also what you said, which is what does it take? What orientation towards ourselves and to others is called for to be able to both celebrate the extraordinariness of being a person and talk about all the really hard stuff and address the hard stuff and meet the hard stuff, what's called for. Yeah. And it's not going to happen if we think we're just nothings, if we think we're just accidents, if we think we're worthless. It's only going to be able to come when we know of ourselves and one another that we know our own power and I know your power. We know our own luminosity and I know mine and I know yours. And it will never occur to me not to trust it and not to share it. And then I can talk with you about the hardest, tenderest, most painful things, including all the things which are the way they are because of choices you made, things, not the things that just happened. You know, if I'm in support of you and you can talk to me about the things that are choices I've made, and we can be in that really tender conversation because we're prepared to be faithful to what it is. I'm not just appreciating you. I'm being faithful to what it is to be a human, and I'm being faithful to the humanness in you, which is a kind of deep appreciation, which then contains all of the clouds and the great shadows. And I think that's, I'm wanting to say it because I think it's hard to talk about because it's so easy to imagine that when we talk in this way, we're talking about somehow pushing away all the clouds and the shadow as if they don't exist. And it's actually exactly the opposite.
Yes. And the magnitude of that, which is the opposite of shallow, like you're saying, it's the opposite of telling each other that we're lovely or whatever, even though that is probably true. But the depth of that appreciation is the size of the bowl. It's the size of the safety that's made between us that can take the darkness and the clouds. And so I think we live in this world where that everything is kind of cast as opposites instead of things containing each other. And I think it's like the container of light enables the darkness to even be safe enough to show up in some ways. So if there's light, if there's an implicit feeling and sense of light between us in our relationship, in our relating, what kind of thing can be held there gets more and more and more in proportion to the way we hold the light between us. And when I say light, I mean you and I inherently, deeply, kind of spiritually knowing our depth of luminosity. And when that's there, we can together have the courage to face really, really big, hard things. And so it's not like we're covering something up or making it move or something, but we're welcoming it because the light of the welcome is so big that it can hold it. So I'm really grateful for the conversation and the distinction about what we really mean by this coming out here. Really grateful to Rosemary for having this gift be available in the world so freely and generously. Really grateful to you and I, Justin, for just stepping in and feeling this creative kind of territory that we find each time and having faith in that creative process. I'm really grateful that everyone is here listening with us and that we are alone somehow and completely unalone at the same time. So please, everybody, reach out and say hello to us. We love to hear from you. And thank you for being with us this week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, everyone.